Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show This Week in SaaS. And we've got a great special guest. We've got Jonathan Gerrigan with us. I probably butchered his surname, but I've had a good attempt at it. In this episode, we're going to be talking about GeneratePress, Gutenberg, and a couple of other things. Should be a great discussion. So, Jonathan, do you want to give yourself a quick intro?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. I am Jonathan. It's very common for people to butcher my last name, so absolutely no problem there.
Well, I did a fantastic job, didn't I?
Better than most people, quite honestly. I've been using WordPress basically every day since 2014, so very nearly 10 years now. And I started just building websites for local clients, very, very small projects. And initially, like most people, started out buying themes from ThemeForest and used WP Bakery and Divi and, you know, all those products.
I'm getting a bit hot and bothered there, Jonathan.
Then in 2016, I found and started using Oxygen Builder, and that was my primary builder of choice for...
Getting even more hot and bothered, Jonathan.
Yeah, great product. Yeah. I loved Oxygen. And then in 2022, I switched to GeneratePress and GenerateBlocks. Those have been my builders of choice for a good number of years now. And of course, I have a YouTube channel that's under my name. I create WordPress related content there. Also co-created a plugin called PyCalendar. And so these days, my time is spent primarily on the YouTube and courses side of things on PyCalendar, and then some contract video work. So I'm mostly out of the client website game, but it's still, you know, near and dear to my heart. I still have many retainer clients from the last couple of years of work. So that's me in the WordPress nutshell.
Fantastic. And I've got my co-host, Kurt. Would you like to introduce yourself, Kurt, and then listen to some news?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt von Annen. I own a company called Manana Nomas. We focus largely on membership and learning websites for middle to larger companies. And I work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS as well.
That's fantastic. And before we go into the meat and potatoes of this show, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals, and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out we've got some great special offers, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins for different solutions for the WordPress professional. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for as a WordPress professional? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. Sorry to disappoint. I've made a career of it. Jonathan's looking at the my godfathers. It's only going to get worse, Jonathan.
I'm rubble.
So, Jonathan, you gave a quick outline about your background. So, but why did you get into web development and design? What led you? Was you into graphic design? Was you doing associate or graduate course? What led to this journey that led you to become a kind of full-time WordPress professional?
Yeah, in my in what we would call here in the US middle school, my seventh grade class, I took an intro, basic web design course. So we were writing HTML and CSS using Dreamweaver at the time. And that was kind of my first introduction to it. And then I actually got into the IT space. I was doing computer repair and networking for a local company here. I did internships throughout high school and ended up working for them. But my schooling was for computer engineering. And so working for this company, I spent about 3 years with them. And then I decided that, I would go out on my own and try to offer computer services to local businesses, and nobody wanted it, but everybody asked, do you do websites? And for a long time I said no. But then stupidly I was like, nobody's calling me for computer repair, but they're asking for website design. What am I doing? So in that kind of transition period, 2014, like I mentioned, that's when I started offering websites. And the first one was $300 and looked like a $300 website. And then, of course, it just grew and grew from there. My skill set grew. And then eventually, like most people who kind of go down the agency route, I was offering everything: social media, graphics, email marketing, websites, everything. And then I just decided to strip it down and focus exclusively on websites. And that's what I've done since about 2020. Really, I mean, right when COVID kicked off is really when I just decided, I gotta be focused on just websites. And my business has grown accordingly. So
is there a particular niche that you specialize in, websites?
I kind of went down the route of like those monthly subscription type websites. So my goal was to focus on like home service businesses, plumbers, roofers, people like that. Never really grew any legs because my YouTube and course business kept growing. And so my goal was to go down that route, but I never truly actually chose and focused on a single niche.
All right. So what about the Pie Calendar? How did you get into that and what is it?
Yeah. Pie Calendar is a product I love so much. So that came about, I had a client who is a real estate law attorney. And they do real estate closings, and there's very strict deadlines with those contracts. And whether you're on the attorney side or the agent side, you have to comply with these deadlines or you can void the contract. So they wanted a tool to track these deadlines and give notifications both to their team and their customers. And so I looked around in WordPress and tried to find a calendar product that would allow me to do something like that. I knew I had to build something slightly custom, but there was nothing that could even remotely get close. So the idea was I just wanted a tool that could take a date and time and just show it on a calendar, just something super simple. And it turns out that was way harder than it should have been. So my good buddy and I, Elijah Mills, we partnered up to create what is now Pie Calendar. And the idea is that it's a dead simple events calendar. There's just there's no fluff, there's no bloat. We intentionally stripped out a lot of features that other, the incumbents have, and people love it. It's just the idea that you have a simple, easy to use calendar that you can get running in 5 minutes. That was the whole approach. So That came about from a client project, actually.
I don't know if I got this wrong, but I did when I was doing my research on you. I think you're into homeowners association websites. Is that right?
I do have quite a few of those in my repertoire of, you know, previous clients. And so my agency site actually is, you know, it shows that as kind of my niche that I aim to go after, but it never really grew any legs. And like I mentioned, I'm kind of out of the client website space these days. So it sits there. I've honestly been meaning to change that to just kind of focus on custom WordPress development, but it's not a high priority at the moment.
Yeah, so over to you, Kurt.
Well, since we jumped down to the pie question, I just wanted to kind of follow up with that, Jonathan. I didn't even know that the pie calendar was out there, right? So
Does that mean that you don't really want to ask question two? You want to leave that?
I'll get to it. It's a follow up to the leave scotch and jumps we've been doing today. So I was on a WordPress meetup call, one of those virtual Zoom calls, and someone wanted a simple calendar. And then some smart aleck on the WordPress meetup team said, "Hey, what about that pie calendar thing?" And I was like, "What in the heck is that?" And it's just one of those things where, you know, there's so many options in WordPress, you can get lost, you know? I was like, what the heck is this? And then to your point, we downloaded the plugin, we activated it. You know, everyone was trying to take a stab at it like they didn't know. And I said, hey, why don't we read the directions first? And so, you know, and it said that the settings were right in the post. And right in the post just said you can turn any post, any page into an event, and then it pops up on that calendar. I was like, this is brain dead simple. I can't believe I didn't know about this. What a cool tool. Because I've done a lot with the events calendar and stuff like that, because that seems to be a stable run, right?
Yeah.
The pie calendar, dude, that you got a real thing there. That's a really solid. I wish more people knew about it or could spread the word about it. So I just wanted to kind of really emphasize how successful that was for us.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, that's the whole idea. Like, I, of course, recognize that the events calendar and some of the other big players out there have built a product that many people use, but most people don't need the level of complexity and the features that exist in those products. And there are cases where there are things that PyCalendar can't do, like event tickets. If you want to sell physical tickets or seats at an event, we chose not to go down that route. And maybe we will in the future, but that adds such an intense level of complexity that most of our customers are people like churches or civic organizations or, you know, companies like that, where they just need essentially a Google Calendar on their website. But for whatever reason, you know, Google Calendar is just so difficult for people to use. And they're already creating the blog post or the press release post or whatever in their site anyway. So you can just, like you said, turn that into a post. To your point, though, I appreciate you mentioning that it wasn't immediately clear, you know, how to get started with it. In some ways, we stripped it down so much that there was no onboarding flow. We kind of need to integrate some sort of information, like, you know, a quick little getting started. We don't want to add to like the admin bar takeover that, you know, most plugins kind of contribute to these days. But a little bit of guided assistance might be helpful.
Yeah. So you don't want to, you know, automatically install Monster Insights on top of your plugin, huh?
Yep. Certainly not.
All right. Well, I'll go to question two. And question two was, publicly, you seem to really endorse GeneratePress. So what are the key things that you like about that page builder compared to the others? You know, our question says, you know, others like Brix, but I'm an Elementor user, not a Brix user. So, I mean, if you could kind of just jump into what's the main features and benefits of GeneratePress that get your blood boiling and make you happy?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. You know, I mentioned coming from the Oxygen Builder world, which is pretty much the, you know, the predecessor to Brix. It kind of paved the way for that hyper advanced builder interface where you can do everything. You're interacting essentially one-to-one with CSS and HTML. And I loved it. It was a great product. I built a lot of really complex websites with it. And then as my business was evolving, and especially as I got more clients who were reasonably technical, not true web developers, but also not people who have never logged into WordPress. They needed the ability to just go do simple things, you know, change some content here and there, swap out an image or change some text. And Oxygen Builder just didn't facilitate that. And quite honestly, neither does Bricks. Like you would not let your client into those products because they're going to screw something up so drastically that it will break huge portions of the site, you know, or destroy the way it looks visually if they change the wrong class and it, you know, changes every section on the site. So the idea for me was I wanted to be closer to WordPress core. And, you know, 2 years ago, there was still a lot to be desired with just kind of the block editor. But I recognized that a product like Generate Blocks brings so much power. I mean, even the free version of Generate Blocks is ridiculously good. And so I wanted to be closer to WordPress core. And I also wanted to put my money and my business on a product that had a proven track record, that had years in the business. And Generate Press just this week is celebrating 10 years. There's not that many WordPress products out there that have 10 plus years. I mean, we can name them, but there are many, many more that have far less, you know, under their belt than that. So that was a huge thing for me. It was primarily I wanted rock solid stability. I wanted a proven track record of a business that has been around a long time and likely will be around for the foreseeable future. And then, like I mentioned, just the ability for a client. I could let my client get in there, make basic tweaks and not worry if they're going to detonate the whole site when they try to click the wrong button. And there's arguments both ways. Some people say never let your clients in, but we all know the vast majority of them are not going to, they don't want to break the site. They just want to do something simple and not have to wait 4 days for their agency to get back to them. So yeah, hopefully that answers your question. I think they're fantastic tools. I love Generate Press.
It answers my question, but you, in your answer, created another question that you kind of half answered. We recently interviewed people on this show that were like, absolutely not. I build the websites. I maintain the websites. I do the, why would you let your customers into the website? And to me, just being transparent, I've never thought that way. I've always been like, whenever I build a product, I got to show the customer. So I always build like a 1 or 2 hour session on the back of a project so I can get on Zoom, walk them through all the main menu features and how to change something, and blah, 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 whatever. You can record this. It's your tutorial forever. And then will they use it? No, they'll probably call me to ask for things later, but at least they knew. It's like, do you know how to change the oil on your truck? You might go, yeah, I do. And do you do it? You're like, no, I take it to Jiffy Lube. Like, I think of it that way. What are your personal thoughts on that ecosystem?
Yeah, I am kind of in the middle of that camp. Like I am 100% on the same page with you that the vast majority of the clients that say they want to get in there and edit and change things almost never do. They don't even know how to log in, even though we sent them the login link with their password and a tutorial video. That's just not something that they're interested in. But for a lot of smaller clients, like local businesses, when I was selling, I found some of the things that resonated the most in the sales process was the fact that they could get in there. Not that they will, but they could get in there. And of course, it being WordPress, I was able to confidently and truthfully say that they own their website. And those two things really resonated with people, especially if they had been kind of burned along the way by another agency, or if they had a website in Squarespace that was stuck forever in Squarespace. And so, you know, the 90% of the time out of all of my clients, I could think of maybe just a handful that maybe once logged in, and even fewer that would log in regularly. And of those few, it's like, they're not going in to try to, you know, create a whole new section or a new layout. They simply want to go change their pricing or update their hours or swap that photo or, you know, set up a little notice that says we'll be closed on Monday for a holiday. It's like that stuff is just, it's just so doable. Why would you want to burden your own email inbox with something like that, that they could have done quicker than sending an email? So
yeah.
I think I do recognize though that Joe the plumber doesn't really need to be poking around in WordPress, but a marketing director for a company of 50 people, that person is probably adept enough to, you know, change some content. And those are typically the types of people and companies that I'm working with.
Excellent. Excellent. Jonathan, over to you.
So you mentioned you were using Oxygen and you move over to Generate Press. What were some of the key elements that led to that decision? Because it's not a small if you're using a particular tool and you invested time learning it, it's not a small undertaking to move to another tool as a WordPress professional. So what led to that particular decision, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, that switch really came about because I had been using Oxygen, like I said, pretty much every day since the kind of late 2016. 2017 is really when I started using it. So I'd been using Oxygen to build every single site, my own, for clients, for everybody, for coming up on 5 years. And I realized there was a significant degree of over-engineering required to build a website for clients there. You know, you fire up Oxygen or Brix, and it's just literally a blank white screen. There's nothing there. And starting from that level of, you know, ground zero was just becoming too taxing for the types of things that I was trying to build and for the clients that I was working with. Like, do I want to have to be responsible for setting every single HTML semantic tag? No, I just want to build the damn page, you know? And to some degree, that is a benefit, especially when it comes to accessibility or, you know, proper HTML semantics. But like, for instance, comparing an Oxygen to Generate, Oxygen has essentially nothing. If you create a template, it's just, you know, the HTML tag, the body tag, and that's it. It's empty. But then, you know, GeneratePress lays a bit more of a foundation. It sets a main tag and a nav tag and an article tag and those kinds of things that are important and critical. And that's why GeneratePress does it. But I don't want to be in that level of minutia. I don't want to have to worry about those tiny little things. So that became taxing over time. Initially, it was fun. It taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about proper HTML and accessibility and those kinds of things. But eventually, it's just like, I need to build a site. I don't want to spend hours and hours before I even see something. And then, of course, like I mentioned, the stability side of things, there was a bit of a row, shall we say, when
never in WordPress a row.
Yeah, no controversy ever. The founder of Oxygen released Breakdance Builder out of nowhere and out of just complete, like, there was total silence, and then boom, Breakdance just showed up, and everyone was just in the Oxygen community at that time was like, wait a second,
you had a notorious live StreamYard or Zoom, didn't he? You had a live event.
With me.
Oh, yeah, it was with you, wasn't it? Sorry, it all merges. I'm old and I'm dealing with so much every day, Jonathan.
Been coming up on 2 years now.
Yeah, that was a bit interesting. I think some people said it was a little bit like a train wreck.
Oh, it was a disaster. Yeah, it was terrible. There was a lot of things said that I suspect probably in hindsight weren't the smartest things for the founder to have said on a live stream the day this random product made its release. So after that, you know, like I said, I had already been kind of quietly looking at Generate Blocks. I had two really good friends that still to this day use it, and both of them had already been full time in Generate Blocks. And both of them were previous Oxygen users too. So I had been watching them, and one of them in particular was just like, dude, make the switch. Come on, let's go. And then finally, I decided to make the leap after that kind of Breakdance Oxygen sort of blow up. I just decided I'm not going to stick around for this. And then
your customer care might have reduced a bit, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the people that decided to leave from Oxygen as a result of that, like I did, the most logical step was to jump to Brix. That was the most kind of similar product, and they were close to feature parity at that time. Now they definitely are, and maybe, you know, you could argue one or the other's beyond. But for me, it was just like, if I'm going to reinvent my whole workflow, move to a new builder, learn a whole new ecosystem, like, I already was becoming slightly disenchanted with Oxygen, like I said, from the complexity aspect, that it didn't make sense for me to jump to Brix and just do the whole thing over again. So that was like my kind of point where it was like, all right, it's full-time Generate now.
Yeah, I think you're making some great points, because I think you're confirming, which I love because of my ego, Jonathan, conversations I've had with Kurt, because I really think it depends on the kind of clientele that you're dealing with, about which, because I said to Kurt, and hopefully he would confirm this, because we were kind of using Animator, but I wanted to get into Gutenberg because it, you know, I do believe in it. But we've become a promoter of Cadence and Bend because of the type of customers, but we will use other tools as well. But for the type of clientele that we're dealing with my particular business model, Cadence and what Ben and his team were doing, I explained to Kurt, in my opinion, that Bricks was more kind of full custom design build out between, you know, depending on your price point, at least starting at $5,000 and probably starting at $10,000. They do a full custom build out. These are starting prices. GeneratePress, they seem to be like in the middle, but he's introduced a class-based system as well recently. Is that correct, Jonathan?
Definitely. GenerateBlocks Pro 1.7 just came out, I think, in April, and now it's got almost, it's like very similar to Bricks or Oxygen in the sense that you can add classes directly to sections and elements, and the interface is very similar to what it was before, but their global style system in the past was very rudimentary, so it's essentially just a global styles overhaul is what that is.
But there are obviously people that are using Bricks saying you can use add-on products that will lock down the website and only allow certain sections to be available. Is that how Generate? Because I don't know that much about GeneratePress, to be truthful. Because when I was looking at alternatives to Animator and the kind of clientele that generally you are catering for, I didn't really think, because you got the main competitor to GeneratePress in the Gutenberg is Spectra. Those two out there, and I just think Cadence is a much more powerful. But you can look. So how does this generate? Can you look down certain sections when you're giving it over to clientele? Can you do that?
There's nothing specific to generate, as far as I'm aware. It's primarily if you really wanted to lock it down, you would use kind of the native WordPress core functions to, you know, prevent moving and editing of specific elements. But to me, like the idea that you have to add an additional product on top of a builder to put guardrails around for a specific client seems just absolutely ridiculous to me. Like,
all right,
your product is so complicated that you have to like add something else on top of it to then exclude all this stuff that you don't want your client touching. And yeah, you could certainly do that, you know, with WordPress core. There's a lot of ways that you can restrict blocks. You know, you can create custom blocks that only have, you know, very specific controls. But I tell my clients that this block interface is akin to a Word document. And some people are going to laugh at that and criticize it. But the reality is, like, the fact that they can get in there and just simply click directly on the headline that they want to edit and just start typing, click the blue button and it's done. Like, it's just so simple. It just, to me, there's no benefit to spending the time to try to lock it down, because most of my clients are not, they have no desire to mess something up. In fact, they're scared to typically. So they're going to do the absolute bare minimum. But like Kurt said, most of the time they don't even do it. They just still send me an email, even though they have the ability to. So, you know, really, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is, what's the best product for me? What can I build, you know, a proper website from really quickly? And that to me is Generate.
Well, yeah, I'm torn between both ideas. I haven't really solidified where I stand on that particularly, because I can totally see where you're coming from, Jonathan. But I can see the other solution, like you've got something like Bricks and you have add-on and you close down. I think it's also, there's always been a problem with the user roles with WordPress, because you with a lot of functionality linked to a specific plugin, the difference between editor and admin There's just that one thing they want to do, which they can't do as editors. So then you have to give them admin. And because they've got admin, they can get at it in a big way. And then to get around that, you use a third-party editor role plugin. And that's had security consequences in the past, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is yet another level of complexity. My whole like philosophy and everything that I do is as simple as possible. We have our motto for PyCalendar is stripped down, done better. And that is like everything that I want to touch needs to be that way. So the idea that I have to add an additional plugin to modify a user role is totally insane. I just set my clients to administrator because, like I said, they're not going to go poke around in the plugin section and deactivate stuff. Like, that's just not going to happen. And if something crazy happened to me, if, you know, I got hit by a bus, they need administrator access. They need a
way. Yes, that's true.
Keep their website up. So, you know, I want to make sure that it's so frustrating when you take over a client site and you're like, what's the WordPress login? You get in and you realize, shit, they gave me an editor account.
Yeah.
Now we got to go back and forth and, you know, get them to upgrade us. And clearly they don't want you to be upgraded. They don't want you to see under the hood. So yeah, that's just user roles. I just set my clients to administer.
Yeah, I think we're touching whole things that are not really discussed in the work because there's a lot of people that don't want it discussed. But this whole area is a bit murky and it's not ideal. But a lot of that is down to, you know, the user role inbuilt into WordPress really, in my opinion, needs some love. Let's put it that way. All right, we've got some, got question three, but we're going to leave that and I'm going to leave Kirk to put that to you. But I think it's a great time to go for our mid-break. I think, Jonathan, you covered some great insights and I have to think about some of the things that you've laid out. We're going to go for our mid-break, folks. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had an interesting discussion with another Jonathan. Getting two Jonathans for one in this episode. What more could you ask for? And also, I want to point out that at WP Tonic, we do a fantastic newsletter. I write it myself. It has the latest WordPress stories and the latest tech stories of the week. Plus, I normally do a bit of a little write-up on a particular WordPress or internet marketing thing that's come on my radar. To get this rag, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And you'll find it there. What more could you ask for? There we go. Words of wisdom from me. Lovely. I do get people signing up. It's always amazes me. But there we go. I do put some effort into it every bloody week, folks. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I think we should take the conversation, you know, to the other side of the pond, so to speak, on building stuff. We've mentioned Gutenberg in the talk, but where do you stand, Jonathan, on your use of Gutenberg or even full site editing for that matter? And how do you feel about the general direction that we interviewed the chief? He said we're 7 years into a 10-year project. So what do you think about the direction of where it's going, trying to be a futurist and see what it's going to look like in the coming season?
Yeah, it's a nuanced topic for sure, because you each person that looks at this and discusses it has a different viewpoint and a different demand out of what this product should do. And that is such a difficult thing to navigate, because for someone like me, I'm primarily building websites, you know, kind of a membership quasi type things like that. Somebody else might be building for Joe the Plumber. Somebody else might be building a fully custom intranet with all kinds of, you know, dynamic data and forms all over the place. And the block editor is fantastic. So if we segment out block editor versus full site editing, I think that's an important distinction to make. The block editor is a wonderful tool. It's crazy how good it is, because just products like Cadence and Generate Blocks and Spectra, those wouldn't exist if the block editor wasn't as good as it is. And so I think that's worth recognizing. And then the other things that exist on top of it, like Nick Diego's plugin Block Visibility, just unbelievably fantastic. And that, of course, is just an add-on on top of the block editor. So I think that where the block editor sits now as kind of maybe a tool that you can build on top of, create custom blocks, use products like Generate Blocks. I'm a huge fan. I love it. It's such a pleasure to work with. So fast and easy to use. With more complicated sites and in the Oxygen days, you'd have a huge, you know, maybe you have a dashboard page and it's got tons of query loops and dynamic data and stuff. And in Oxygen, it would just chug. It'd be so slow. Same kind of site in the block editor is just like, boom. It refreshes so fast, you can hardly tell it even refreshed. So I think that as a product as it sits right now is really great. Full site editing, on the other hand, I have explored just individually on my own a number of times. And each time I get so frustrated that I just walk away. And I see the potential of where it's headed. I think like block themes and what the idea is that you can do with them in the future is promising. But for me to put my clients, especially, I could potentially put my own stuff on there and be fine with the trade-offs that I might experience. But when it's like, well, to unlock that specific feature, you got to go to theme.json and add this and that. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Just give me a settings UI with a toggle, turn that on and off. Like, want to add your colors, go to theme.json. What are you talking about? Why do I have to do that? That's so crazy. So the promise of a block theme is really good, but you still, if you have a block theme, you want to build a custom header, that's going to be tough. If you want to, you know, I just think that the full site editing experience for me is not there, and I'm really not willing to invest my time into it until it becomes viable enough that I could build, you know, 95% of my site without any trouble. But because I run into problems so quickly when I've started to use it, I just quite honestly have jumped ship, like, you know, within an hour or two of playing with it. So
it's super interesting. From an agency standpoint, I imagine you're working with people in all forms of development over your decade of doing this, right? So you've got some people still on Oxygen, some people still on maybe Elementor. You've got a customer, then you've got the blocks, then you've got maybe a full site editing theme somewhere. And for me, and I'm just speaking from my standpoint, looking for feedback from you, sometimes I'll jump into an old customer site and it's on Elementor and it takes me 45 seconds or a minute and a half to get my head wrapped around, like, how did I build this again? But then once I'm in there, I'm like, there it is. Click, click, snap, snap, bam, bam, boom. And whereas sometimes when I'm in the Gutenberg block editor, I'm still looking like, where's that toggle? Where's that setting?
I think you had concerns about me saying we're going to go to Cadence, but I think you're starting to, you can see the logic of my decision now, Kirk, can't you?
Well, yeah. And you know, we got corrected by one of our guests on the show recently, Jonathan, because I was like, thank goodness we got Cadence Pro because Gutenberg wouldn't let you XYZ. And he was like, you can now, you didn't, you know, but that's one of the issues I have with WordPress is like for a year, for 2 years, you get used to saying, well, I have to add Cadence Pro or I have to add Spectra to do this thing. And then WordPress releases it, you know, releases that thing with a release, but we don't know that. And we're still adding layers on top of the core. And it's there. So I'm interested to see where it goes in the years to follow. Just this week, I said that on purpose. Just this week in full site editing, we had an example where a client's half of their learning material was SCORM and half of their learning material was based in the course builder in WordPress. And we wanted the course pages, the lesson pages to appear different. We wanted full pages for the SCORM content and then columned pages for the WordPress stuff. In Blocks, that's kind of a nightmare, right? Because you set a template for all lessons or all courses. But with full site editing, you're able to almost instantly build an extra template and assign that template anywhere you want.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, full site editing's the bomb for this one. But that's for this.
Yeah, I think you're touching some really interesting, because I think there's some real aspects of what is the term full site editing, what the team, which you've just touched upon, Kurt. But then you got the problem with the navigation and the things that Jonathan had touched upon that are there. So it's a very frustrating situation in some ways. But then you've also got trying to explain this to somebody that's thinking of either coming back to WordPress because they've sampled some of the SaaS propaganda, as I call it, and comparing it to the reality. But then you got to say, you know, oh, you got classic editor, and then, you know, people, what I termed classic editor was the classic editor, and then you're using classic editor for the pre full site editing, and then you've got what Cadence is doing, which is still using the classic interface, and then you got full site. Trying to explain this to a normal mortal is a nightmare, isn't it, Jonathan?
Yeah. I mean, if we look at how you would build a site with GeneratePress and GeneratePress, you're going to build your templates in the theme, GeneratePress, for archive templates, you know, blogs. You can build sidebar templates, things like that. And then your content is going to be built with GeneratePress. And so it's actually a really easy thing to differentiate for clients. In that case, it's like, want to go edit your contact page, click the pages button, click the word contact, make your change. And then rarely ever would somebody go touch the template. But if they wanted to, they certainly could just click, you know, in GeneratePress, its appearance, and then click your elements button, and then it's there. So that, you know, that's part of the reason why I haven't spent a whole lot of time digging into FSE more than, you know, once every 6 months, once every year, just to kind of see where it stands. But Kurt, like you said, I mean, that approach is pretty cool. It's definitely coming a long way, the ability to build that. But yeah, I mean, to your
point. Like they just didn't deal, you know, being able to do a custom navigation and doing these aren't minor things. They're quite crucial if you're going to go to full site editing, aren't you? Or you're going to recommend it, and not having that at a much earlier is a slight problem, isn't it?
Seems to me that nav is a universal problem because nobody has solved it. Nobody has a good nav builder, in my opinion. There's Brix has an attempt at it. Oxygen has made 3 different attempts at it. GeneratePress doesn't really have one at this time. And then, you know, there's maybe Cadence or somebody else has one that I'm not familiar with. But as far as I'm aware, like if there is some sort of nav menu builder, they're pretty rudimentary, or you run up against restrictions quickly. So there must be some, you know, there must be some UI UX to actual code implementation issue for these that just nobody can seem to get right.
Well, let this go on, because I'm sure I'll get all the haters sending me direct messaging or email. Anyway, I get grief from Kevin's crowds, and I get grief from the Gutenberg Marxists, as I call them. I get grief from them all, Jonathan.
I get grief all the time for not moving to Brix from Oxygen. Like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I think as long as I consistently get grief from both sides, I must be in the right position, actually. So on to the next one. So what's some of the key things? Because there is a bit of a jump from, you know, building websites, running an agency, and then deciding you're going to do a plugin which you're going to sell on the marketplace. So what are some of the key business things that you've learned around PyCanada that you wish you had known earlier?
It's a good question. I mean, we made an intentional decision to have a free version of PyCalendar that exists in the WordPress plugin repository. And that was primarily an experimental decision. I had a goal in early 2023 when we first had a prototype of the plugin. I wanted to get a plugin in the repo. I wanted to see how does it work? What are the effects of it being in the repo? And then, of course, we decided to sell a pro version as well. So there's both free in the repo and paid on our website. So it was kind of an experiment there. And just to understand what does the development cycle look like for a product that is both free and paid, and how do you market it for free and paid?
Well, you're touching something really interesting, because you're getting enormous benefits of having a free product in the directory, you know. But the problem is, it's a two-edged sword, because then you've got to really work out what is going to be offered in the free product and what's going to be really offered in the pro. And if you offer too much in the free, there's no reason to pay for the pro version. But if you cripple it too much, there's no point in, you just upset people. So that decision, it has some benefits, but it has some really clear drawback. So am I on the right track there, Jonathan?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Elijah and I made a decision early on that we weren't going to artificially cripple the free version, but also things that required significant extra development effort, like recurring events, those are in the pro version. So then there are other quality of life features that we have, like a settings page for in pro. And then there's a PHP function that we give you for the free version. So, you know, it's finding those balances between the not artificially limiting it, but also ensuring that there's still plenty of value for both a free customer and a pro customer. So you're right. It is a very tricky balance, and one that I didn't anticipate had I known.
All right. So it's one of the things you've learned, because I interrupted you. I apologize. I just thought that was a key thing to point out to people.
Yeah. It's a very tricky balancing act. It's kind of like the equivalent of having a paid course, and you want to publish a YouTube video.
Yes.
Well, does that go on YouTube or does that go in the course? You could argue it both ways. And then the other thing about the plugin repo is, especially in our case, going up an incumbent like the events calendar with, you know, 800,000 active installs, it's very unclear, and you have very little resources to understand what am I doing to increase my search rankings. If somebody types in events calendar on the WP admin plugin search, or if they just go to the website directly, what contributes to the rankings? And it's other people, third parties that we've acquired some knowledge from. The team from Freemius, he just published a fantastic blog article on what actually makes plugins rank. And it's difficult to understand, like, you know, it seems to me that reviews, active installs, and the title are what rank you. So then it's like, well, we're kind of up against, you know, a behemoth of a plugin with unlimited funds behind it. Will we ever eclipse them? I don't know. Was it a mistake to have a free version that goes up against them? You could argue that. And that's all things that, you know, I didn't quite anticipate. But like I said, I wanted to run that experiment. I wanted to see what is it like to build a free plugin and try to run it in the repository.
Before we go on to the next question, is there something else that you didn't anticipate that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think just how, if I can pat myself on the back, how much of a masterstroke it was to allow the plugin to turn any post into an event, rather than it being a, you know, if you install most other events plugins, they create an additional custom post type for you called events. Yeah. But originally our plugin was going to be called Any Post Into Event. And we realized that's a terrible name. But if you look at those words, Any Post Into Event, the acronym is PIE. And that's where PyCalendar came from. So we have so many people that have a custom post type, like a news or a press release or whatever, and that's what they want to turn into an event. And then also it integrates with ACF, so you can use your own date and time fields rather than PyCalendars. So those two things were lessons learned because they were like fundamental ideas to the product, but I didn't anticipate them being like the reason that people are so excited about it. So happy accidents, I might say.
All right, back over to you, Kurt.
Well, we're talking about calendars. The next question's about the Hey Calendar.
Yeah.
So you're doing some work with the Hey Calendar and its team. Dude, just let us know what this thing is. What's it about?
Well, yeah, he actually is. And that's down to me. You should have told me that. You should have come back to me. But he does use it. So that's a little bit down to me. But yeah, let's talk about it, though, because I'm intrigued why Jonathan uses it.
Well, this is funny to say now. This is abundantly obvious. I'm a huge calendar fan. I love calendars. It's one of those like boring things that I love it. I use it personally. Everything in my life is on my calendar. If it's not there, it gets forgotten about, and I don't end up.
I'm totally the same, Jonathan. It's not on my calendar. I'll just forget it. I forget my own birthday because I don't want to remember it.
I mean, it's stuff like that. You know, it's like, my mother-in-law says, you know, family dinner next Thursday. I'm like, hold on, let me check my calendar first. So, you know, I really rely on it heavily. And so I, of course, like many people, have used all of my business stuff through Gmail for many, many years. And I'm religious about unsubscribing, but I could just never get on top of my email inbox. And I don't have any social apps or email on my phone very intentionally. So when I would log into Gmail and there'd just be this barrage of garbage, and occasionally there'd be a thing or two I cared about, it was frustrating. So when I started using the Hey email app, I really liked it. There's a feature where you can click this button that says never hear from them again. So if somebody emails you, you can basically ban them for life and you never get a notification. It goes into this separate area that you don't ever have to check. So all the spammers that are like, hey, do you offer SEO service? Nope. You are going into the trash can and it's the, you know, the permanent black hole. It's all of the screener. And so you get to screen people in or out of your inbox and it's great. So that I loved, but they didn't have a calendar at the time. I was like, I can't make the leap away from Gmail without a compelling calendar. And then at some point last year, they did release their calendar. Actually not a huge fan of it. Hey is by the same people as Basecamp, and I'm a huge Basecamp lover. I use Basecamp religiously, and it's a fantastic tool. I mean, kind of jives with my philosophy of just more simple and just does less intentionally.
It's funny, I could never get, we use, in our agency, we use something called FreeCamp. I've been using it for years, and I really like it, actually. I could never get my head around Basecamp, but it doesn't mean it. It's just certain interfaces appeal to certain people, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's intentionally abstract, and so you can do with it what you please. And it took me a long time to really find a workflow with it. I've made some videos on how I use it for my web design clients on my YouTube channel, if anybody is interested. So the Hey Calendar it's fine. I'm getting more comfortable with it, but they kind of took a Basecamp / Hey philosophy to it, where they, in my opinion, kind of change things for the sake of changing things. And one thing that frustrates me is there's no way to just get like a monthly view. You have to like kind of slide through the months on your
phone. Oh yeah, it's painful, isn't it?
On the desktop version, it's a little bit better, but I can't figure out which month am I actually looking at right now. So that's not a huge fan of it. And in fact, I haven't canceled my Google business account simply because Google Calendar is just perfect. And
problem using Google stuff is that they're reading everything on I was thinking of utilizing this Swiss company that, I forgot their name, but, they provide a good email service. Proton. I was thinking of going to Proton because, but then you got the calendar problem because of the thing that, because we, it's pretty evident that Google's reading everything and they're using AI to read everything. And they say no, but I don't trust anything those cockroaches say.
Basically. I mean, I thought about going back to just the regular old Apple calendar built into my phone and my laptop because it's just dead simple and it's usable. But then I'm sitting here wondering, why don't I just fire up a private WordPress install and use my calendar to manage my own calendar? It would be better off, quite honestly.
You know, people will say I've been harsh about Google, but I don't think I am.
No.
Actually, I think people are realizing it took much too long for people to wake up what they're dealing with something like Google and Facebook, dealing with, isn't it?
The biggest reason I ended up deciding to move to Hey Email full time was when Google killed Google Domains. I was like, all right, I'm done.
They moved it to that below. They sold it to Squarespace.
I know, it's just absolutely insane to me. It doesn't make any sense.
I recommend, I understand why people use GoDaddy, but I just tell people, the only problem is the interface isn't fantastic. It's Cloudflare, because you can buy your domains through Cloudflare, and there might be $1 more, but you just don't have to deal with all the nonsense from GoDaddy, do you? So I just say that to people, because, I found Cloudflare to be pretty honest, reasonable people. There we go. On to the next final question. I've really enjoyed the interview. I think we covered some interesting stuff, Jonathan. Hopefully you've enjoyed it.
Likewise.
So if you had a time machine or your TARDIS from Doctor Who and you could go back in time to those early days of your WordPress career, Jonathan, what kind of one or two insights would you like to be able, the opportunity, that little discussion that you like to be able to tell yourself that would have been helpful, Jonathan?
It would have been, I mean, it would be both from a, just like a business kind of philosophy standpoint, but also like a more specific technical example. It would be two things. One would be pick a niche early on and really hone in on that. If for me, it would have been an automotive. My passion outside of work is vehicles and, car repair and, modifications and stuff like that. I would have found a way to...
Well, you love Kirk because he's Mr. Motorsport, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kirk, yeah.
We'll have to connect after then. I would love to chat about that. I mean, so I would have...
Two pigs in shit, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I would have definitely gone for some kind of automotive repair niche. I think I would have tried to build... kind of monthly subscription sites for automotive businesses, or maybe gone after, high performance engine shops or something like that. Something that I cared about. That was one thing that I think in like kind of the 2019, 2020 timeframe started to get so burnt out on client work was like, I don't care about this random business that called me. So this project is such a slog. And then the other thing would be, I wish I would have gotten a handle on PHP earlier. I'm still far from an expert. I can kind of read it and understand it, but what we can do in WordPress with just a little tiny bit of PHP is just incredible.
Well, haven't you moved on to React then, Jonathan?
I mean, I know literally zero JavaScript, so that's where I fall apart. But what you can do with PHP and a little bit of JavaScript is just incredible. So I think that would be a way, even now, to really jumpstart your career. Would be.
I've done it because my early career, I was a Flash action script developer, and then I was in the early days a JavaScript developer, and they were crazy days. It burnt me out a little bit, and I got into WordPress and other things. But I've done a dive back into it, and you think WordPress is the Wild West. It isn't. Go into the JavaScript library world of, oh my God, that crowd, they are truly bonker crowd, aren't they?
the best developer I've ever met is this guy named Zach, and he is an unbelievable React developer. Anything you would want to build, he can build. And yet the thing I find so fascinating is he had never, prior to meeting me, never once fired up WordPress. And I was like, it's just incredible that there's this whole, you know, world, this whole ecosystem that
exists. I'm looking for somebody good in React, so you might have to send him by way. What do you think of the Laravel? Because I was talking to somebody that I really respect, and he said, the Laravel world is growing. They're doing some fabulous stuff. Is that on your radar at all?
No. In general, I try hard to keep my blinders on and not shiny red ball to the other things that pop up. And I mean, really, like Kurt said, I keep my stack so consistent. Clients from 5 years ago still have a nearly identical stack to what the new ones have.
Yeah.
So I don't like to have a bunch of different people of a bunch of different ecosystems.
Oh, well, I just, the Laravel, some people a few years ago saying it was all going to be JavaScript. But I think the Laravel is similar to Ruby on Rails, which is from Basecamp, is it? Mm-hmm. David, one of the founders of Basecamp, isn't it? And people kind of said that was finished, but it isn't, is it? It's doing quite well, Ruby on Rails. It has its niche. And I think Laravel is similar, isn't it?
That's what the Hey Calendar is built in, is Ruby.
That's interesting, isn't it? It would be, wouldn't it? Well, Kurt had to leave because he's got another live event that he is the admin for.
So wow.
He had to go off. And we must have been, my clock is slightly wrong. But I think we've had a great chat. So, Jonathan, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah, my website is just my name, jonathanjernigan.com. And my YouTube channel is also my name. So if you just search either of those two things, you'll find me. And I also have a newsletter you can subscribe to. It comes out every week. And then, of course, the YouTube channel I post semi-occasionally. I'm somewhat inconsistent there, but YouTube, newsletter, and the website.
And hopefully you agree to come back on the show, maybe the roundtable show if you can stomach it, because that's really outrageous, but I think you'd be up to it.
Sounds great.
It's been a fabulous discussion. I really enjoyed it. Please give us some feedback, folks, about what some other guests you would like us to invite on the show and what you thought about this. Getting your feedback is great. The easiest way of doing that is to go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and you can leave your comments on this show that will probably be up tomorrow. And we've got some fabulous guests coming up in June. You should really enjoy them. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.